Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, how are you today?
Bob, I'm doing great. How could you not with the weather being the way it is right now?
Yeah, it's a good one to get outside. And as you have said many times, a good thing for our health, for our immune system. Get out, get some fresh air, get some exercise, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Be a little careful today. I think it's going to get up into the lower 90s, if I'm not mistaken, away from the lake. So people with asthma or people with heart disease certainly should be careful if they get out and exercise when it's up over 90 with the heat indexes the way they're going to be. But still, like you said, the sun's great for us for vitamin D. Fresh air is good for us for exercise. Both of those are great for our immune system.
You mentioned last week something about a new vaccine and a trial. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, the vaccine issue has moved so quickly here in the last couple of weeks. It's interesting. Probably the two big leading companies, Moderna and AstraZeneca, came out with some promising news last week. And very interesting as far as the speed. You know, I've been saying to people all along that the chance of having a vaccine is extremely low anytime in the immediate future. Got to remember that up to this point, the fastest we ever made a vaccine was the measles vaccine, and it took us 4 years. But now we're talking about the potential to have a vaccine as early as this fall. So very exciting news, and now we all just keep our fingers crossed that the studies that they're going to. So AstraZeneca right now has a vaccine that's in phase two trials, as does Moderna. Moderna is going to start their phase three trial on July 1st. If they get good responses for that, they will be ready to go in the late fall, maybe November, December. And you say, well, yeah, sure, they're ready to do it, but how, you know, they still have to make it. Well, they're making the vaccine right now. As a matter of fact, they're looking at having 100 million doses ready by December for Moderna, and AstraZeneca already has 2 million doses waiting to be used as soon as we find out if it's safe.
No, that's good news. But isn't the real game changer going to be drug therapy, and won't that happen before a vaccine is able to be put into wide use?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the drug therapy we're looking at, look at remdesivir. So a couple of things with that. One is it's a good drug. It's a blockbuster drug, but it works like Tamiflu. So it knocks off 4 days of the illness, but really doesn't make it so that you can be protected for it prior to you being exposed, we'll say. So the chance of a drug being identified, unless it's already one that has been in production, we already know that it's safe, and has been used for something else. Got to remember, remdesivir was made for Ebola and didn't work, but now we're using it here for COVID. Will it be a game changer when we have a medication we can take to prevent as well as to treat? Absolutely. But we're starting to see some moves on that, but not the ones that we're seeing with the vaccines right now.
We reported earlier that the government's current supply of remdesivir is going to run out at the end of the month. So I guess this is not a major concern of yours?
It's a little bit. You know, we have enough remdesivir to treat probably half the patients that we would like to treat. So we'll get our final allocation here in the Illinois area probably at the end of this month. Now, that's saying those are the doses that they gave us for free. Those are the million doses or a million vials that they donated to the U.S. government for free. They're still in production, and they expect to have another 500,000 treatment courses, full treatment courses out in October, and another million by December. The part that will be interesting to see is what are they going to charge for that now after they've given us the million free doses?
I'm reading a lot about France and New Zealand this morning, countries that have managed to reopen almost totally now. They've done very well there. And I know you and your colleagues have looked at what other countries have done. What is it that they did to be so successful? Did they just do a more major clampdown earlier than we did here in this country?
Well, they did a good clampdown early, that's for sure. But then they also have very understanding individuals about masking as well as about physically distancing. So they put in some fairly good recommendations that people appear to be following. The wild card for us, Bob, has been the rallies and the protests. You know, we're finding out now numerous cities have identified individuals that have participated in the rallies that were positive for COVID when they were in the middle of those rallies. So although we see a lot of countries that are doing well, it'll be interesting to see how we do based on, as we were pushing down, we had this major social justice issue come up that put people that were not physically distancing and perhaps not wearing masks 100% of the time.
Who should get tested? Now, I know you mentioned that anybody at any of these protests should get tested, but what about the rest of the folks out there?
Well, you know, the nice thing about testing now is you no longer have to have symptoms to be tested, so anyone can be tested. So individuals who live in a home with a senior, live in a home with someone that is immunocompromised, whether it's because they're on chemotherapy, whether they're going through cancer treatments, or they have other medications that are impacting their immune system, those are the ones that you certainly 100% should be tested. I think really we need to get to a point of routinely testing individuals that actually work in hospitals and actually work in nursing homes. Those are going to be probably the biggest ones that I'd say get out there now. But since there's no need for symptoms, anybody that has any interest, anybody that thinks it would lower their anxiety levels, go ahead and get tested. All the state facilities are back open, and there should be one in within a short driving distance of where you live.
And if anybody has any questions for the doctor, here's our text number, 312-981-7200. Same as our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can email us this way, bobshow@wgnradio.com. And Dr. Kevin Most is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Continuing our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, a lot of folks were out and about, especially at restaurants, eating outside over the weekend. What do we need to remember when we're dining out these days?
Yeah, I think, you know, the good thing is we know a lot already about how this disease is transmitted. And so if we know how it's transmitted and we do the things to eliminate that, then outdoor dining should be fine. And a matter of fact, I think you'll probably see that indoor dining will probably happen quite soon, because really we know that the outside, although the air circulation is great, really the distancing is what is most important. So hopefully these restaurants will be able to do indoor seating as well soon.
And if you're at a patio outside and the restaurant has a fan there, does that make it actually more dangerous? Didn't I read something about that, about the moving air being problematic?
Well, the dispersal in fresh outside air is pretty good, actually. But the study that you're talking about, or the concern that we're talking about, is when we talk about the droplets being able to be projected as you talk or as you cough or sneeze, you know, 8 feet. Well, if you have a fan blowing behind you, now is that going to take it from 8 feet to 15 feet? So that part is one, but the dilution factor with the air is going to be fine, I think. I haven't seen a study, and we saw the study out of China at the restaurant where they had the tables too close, but we really haven't seen anything where a fan would impact it. You know, you're also going to see, Bob, is, you know, the days of menus are going to be pretty much gone. They're going to either be paper menus that you're going to keep that are going to be disposable after one-time use, or you're going to have, you know, like the old school restaurants where the menu is up on the board. And I think, you know, the big thing is going to be make sure we're physically distanced, wear your mask as you're coming in, take it off while you're there, and then really, who are you going to have dinner with? You know, that's probably the bigger question, is now you've expanded your herd. It's not going to be just your family anymore where you've been sheltering in place. It's going to be other individuals who you probably haven't seen for quite some time.
Well, I've always been picky about who I have dinner with, so I just have to get pickier now, I guess.
That's right.
We got quite a few messages from people listening who have questions for you. A lot of questions about timetable like this. After potential exposure, how many days later should you be tested for COVID? My nephew has tested positive twice. He has had the virus for the last 4 weeks. He has to get two negatives testing before he can go back to work. Can you give me insight into this? He has no symptoms, maybe the one with no taste or no smell, but how long does this last? What about that?
Yeah, so the interesting thing that we're seeing is that although someone may not be infectious, they may have, let's say they had the illness, and now they're waiting for those two negative tests so that they can come back to work. What we're finding is that they may continue to test positive for 30 or 40 days, although we don't think they're infectious. In other words, they're still viral material. They will still test positive for the test, but they can't spread the illness. So that's really why we look at this 14-day. Now, many places are really looking at these two negative tests, especially the high-risk areas like nursing homes. You know, that's probably one of the biggest areas that we're seeing the demand for two negative tests, just because 100% of their people are vulnerable. So they want to be really careful there.
Is wiping down groceries with baby wipes sufficient? I try to use Clorox wipes, but I don't always have those available.
You know, I told somebody in a talk that I was doing with Gilda's Club last week, saying, you know what, if you really want to get some exercise, then go ahead and wash down all those things. But really, we know that the chance of getting it from a piece of material is very low for many reasons. One, the chance that somebody coughed on that can of corn before you bought it, then you touched it already in the grocery store, then you bring it home, now it sits out, now have you touched your face? So really, the stretch of, boy, can I get it from groceries, is very low. That being said, if it's going to decrease your anxiety level to get it to as close to zero as you can, go right ahead and you can wipe those with almost anything. You can use, you know, soap and water for cans if you want. But we're really saying that that's really not that important right now. We know that 98% of these transmissions are from person to person.
But then you read things like, I saw something the other day regarding public washrooms, that there are often more bacteria on the faucets than even in the toilet water. So I guess what you just need to do there is just touch the faucet with a paper towel, right?
Correct, yeah. And believe me, we should have been doing a lot of these things even before, and a lot of people had been doing those. If you look at every public area, we have bacteria and viruses on our hands, so anything that you've been touching or that others have touched in a short period of time, it's going to transmit more than just COVID. I mean, we have lots of other bacteria on our hands. So, you know, using hand sanitizer instead of the soap and water is often good if you don't want to really worry about touching anything. And then really, when you're out and around, if you're really concerned, bring a tissue to open doors with, have a pen or something with you to push the elevator button, and make sure you don't get into an elevator with, you know, more than a couple of people based on how big the elevator is. You'll start to see a lot of restrictions on elevator travel, really, right now.
Mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't say this because I'll probably end up with strep throat or something tomorrow, but I was thinking that since January, and maybe even further back, I have not even had my usual seasonal cold. So maybe all of these things that we're doing now are protecting us from more than just the virus.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at our influenza numbers, once COVID started, influenza plummeted. And you're like, well, why was that? Well, it's exactly what you said. We did all this shelter in place. We all had this high awareness, and we showed that even we can knock down influenza if we were to do these things. So when you look at the total deaths from influenza this year and total influenza cases, it's way down. Not that it was a weak influenza year. It's just that we were much more diligent in how we were going to protect each other and protect ourselves.
There you have it from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And we can never get to all the questions. That's why we love the house calls every Monday morning. So we look forward to chatting with you again next week, Doc. Thanks very much.
You got it, Bob. I'm looking forward to a time when we can start talking about some other key medical issues as well. Hopefully that'll be soon.
Yeah, we can only hope. Have a good day.
Take care.